here for the 12th episode of the Watershed Wellness Podcast. I'm here with my wonderful partner and co-owner of the clinic, Amanda Bart.
Hi.
Licensed massage therapist and yoga teacher, among other many, many other things. And it's been a bit since we put out a podcast, so just trying to figure out what we want to do with it. And your feedback is always really helpful for us. You can go to watershedwellnesspodcast.com and let us know what's working, what's not working, if there have been any problems, other things you'd like to hear about. And we'll try to incorporate those into future podcasts. Today we want to talk about yoga. So we haven't, the yoga side of things is pretty new to Watershed. It's something we just added, January?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first class was in February.
Right, so it's only been a little less than a year, and it's still, like any new aspect you add to a business, it's always kind of an adventure to figure out how it's actually going to work. And so you've been experimenting with different things, and the reason we decided to have this podcast is that you're about to release the new yoga schedule for the second term ever, the kind of winter calendar. Now, you plan to do it.
Yeah, we're going to have a new schedule every term, essentially. So we'll keep this schedule January, February, March, and then probably in April reevaluate and start a new one that will last until June, and then again for the summer do another one.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And so just in thinking about that, we've been having a lot of conversations about things. Because anytime you start a new business or, have some new aspect to things, you look to other people and say, how have other people done this? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. So the thing we were just talking about, and I think where we should start chatting, is really about the whole notion of peak poses. Because you've been struggling, just to clue people in, is that, it can be hard to tell people what yoga classes they should go to. What's beginner, what's, advanced, and what's right for me, what's... and one of the things you have kept coming to is this idea of peak poses and teaching peak poses. And maybe you can just explain what a peak pose is and how that's usually incorporated into a yoga class so people can understand.
Yeah, so the way that I think about peak poses is I have a couple different ways that I think about it. Often when I'm planning classes, I think about what body part do I want to focus on today? What movement do I want to focus on today, and how do I want to best facilitate that in someone else's body? So a peak pose could be something as simple as cat-cow, honestly, really looking towards how can I really dive into understanding how my spine is moving between extension and flexion in a way that really you're paying attention to it and understanding all the articulating parts of the vertebra, right?
Right.
Or it could be something a little bit more complicated, like a forearm stand, right? How can I best utilize all of these functions of my body and spend the entire class preparing my body to do this one pose in a way that's going to be functional and it's going to feel good and you're going to feel prepared for it. And you might nail it in a way that you never nailed it before, right?
Right.
And not saying that it's about nailing it, but just that there's a way that a peak pose sequence class can set you up for success in a way that a more generalized, all body movement class may not.
So a peak pose then is a pose towards which the class is being built.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a difficult pose.
It can be. It can be a very difficult pose, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea then is that, if it's a whatever, if it's a peak pose that requires shoulder flexibility, that the rest of that class you'd be kind of primarily focused on opening up the shoulders so that it's easier to do that.
And not only the shoulders, but understanding the other functions of the pose, right? So maybe a little bit upstream or downstream, right? For instance, with my example of forearm stand, it's important that your forearms actually be open, right? The lower arm. Mm-hmm. And then it also is important that your back is open. So, so there's a lot to do here. And then also that you have a good sense of stability and foundation, because you're flipping yourself upside down. Mm-hmm. So let's start with understanding what that stability and foundation looks like, balancing on your feet instead of balancing upside down. Right. So finding whatever the function is of that pose and kind of workshopping through the class in a way that makes sense to be able to set you up for success in this pose.
And success, not just in terms of, like you said, nailing the pose, doing it perfectly, but also in terms of being injury free and feeling comfortable while you do it, right?
Yeah, for sure. Because if you try to hop into a shoulder stand or a forearm stand without warming up the shoulders first, it's not going to feel great. And the potential for injury is much more than if you would have spent some time intentionally preparing for for this opening to happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that people really struggle with in yoga is that, I mean, some of the things that you can do when you have kind of an advanced yoga practice are pretty cool, like in terms of just like what you can do with your body, right? Like
mm-hmm.
moving it in different ways or balancing or whatever. And I think we all look just, you know, it's just natural that you look to these yogis, these people who are very advanced in their practice and can do a shoulder stand or a forearm stand or a headstand or whatever
mm-hmm.
with no problem. And we all want to like reach towards those poses because they look cool or they seem like they feel cool or whatever. But then people will try them without being prepared and will fail
mm-hmm.
and then they won't want to do it again.
Sure, they'll fail or they'll hurt themselves.
Yeah, yeah, or both, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like this would, so you're wanting, now do you orient all your classes to a peak pose or?
Not all of my classes, but I find just that's kind of the way my mind works, that I'm able to better categorize and kind of create a more comprehensive class when I know what I'm working towards.
Right.
You know, sometimes classes are just like, let's move our bodies.
Right.
And sometimes they're a little bit more like intentional around like, let's
okay,
move towards, I'm interested in exploring how this works in your body. Let's dive in a little bit more deeply.
And so, you know, our hope then with Watershed Yoga is to make it clear when you're doing one of those things or whether you're doing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you come to class and you do just want to move or whatever.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you come to class and you're actually interested in exploring something a little bit more. So finding a way to describe that's actually really challenging.
Yeah, for sure.
How to tell people.
And with those peak poses, it can be something that you can start to integrate into those classes where you are just moving your body in a way that feels really good and where you completely understand the pose because you've been well set up for it, perhaps
right.
in another class. For instance, I was in a class yesterday that was a really awesome, like just move your body and flow and sweat it out a little bit. And the potential to do side crow was there. And there were just a couple of us in class that tried it, but I've done that pose many times and it feels good in my body and I know how to integrate it into my body in a way that I can just pop into that pose
right.
in the middle of class and it's no big deal
right.
because my body knows what's happening.
Right, because you've been trained to do it.
Right.
Yeah, I think people, you know, it's sometimes I've talked to people about, like, especially people who have a background in sports, I think people don't approach yoga the same way they would a sport or learning a
mm-hmm.
language or an instrument. But really, you do need to because
yeah.
there are certain things that your body is simply not used to doing, and you need to train them. And once you train them, then you have that skill forever.
That's
or,
right.
I mean, you know, for a while.
You have an understanding of the skill.
Yeah, yeah. Like, side crow is a perfect example because it does require that trust and that weird balance point where you're like, oh, like I might fall right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never done that before, you're either just going to resist it and not go into it, or you're just going to fall, you know.
Yeah,
which I,
and, but you'll know how to fall, too.
Yeah, that's good. I guess that's, I suppose
mm-hmm.
that's good. So okay, so we're working on the schedule. We're working on differentiating those things so people can expect to see some changed phrasing and some different classes and,
yeah.
and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're switching our level one classes to be foundational classes, so yoga foundations. And that is exactly what it sounds like. It's a great place to come and to learn what yoga is all about,
right.
To learn the correct placement of your feet in poses, to learn how you breathe in yoga.
Yeah.
It's a great way just to slow down and to understand the specifics of the foundational poses
yeah.
that will potentially, if you're interested, set you up for the deeper level classes where you might do something like balance on your
more,
hands
more
or
right.
Do something a little more complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know that you wanted to talk about this, but I think it's worth saying that, you know, I've met people as friends or patients or whatever, who will say something like, I've been practicing yoga for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you actually, when they do yoga or when you talk to them about it, you realize that they've been like watching a video,
mm-hmm.
right, for 20 years.
Sure.
Which is awesome. Like anything that gets people moving. But I do think that even if you have been practicing yoga for 20 years, if it has been, you know, either, you know, not with not much instruction, or even if it has been instruction, you still might need some foundations,
mm-hmm.
right? Because like,
mm-hmm.
because not all yoga teachers, not all yoga traditions, and certainly not all yoga videos teach you the proper way to be in alignment so that you don't injure yourself.
That's right.
And so I think, I just wanted to say that just because I feel like, you know, myself, like I've been practicing yoga, like I've done yoga many times, but I may still need some instruction on just basic body integrity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think one thing that's special for us at Watershed is that you're being taught yoga, I mean, at least when you teach, from a perspective of somebody who has seen injuries take place and who has seen people with poor or perhaps just not enough training actually really hurt themselves in yoga. And I think a lot of people are afraid of that. So I just wondered, like, I know that we've articulated this before, but like, maybe you can just speak to that, like how important those foundations are and what those foundations mean. Like, what does that actually mean? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think again, it's just going back to the basics of what, these movements are that we're often consistently asked to do in yoga practices, especially ones that are a little bit faster paced, right? Like, what does it look like to do a plank pose that's not going to hurt your shoulders?
Right.
Or to move from a plank pose down to your belly in a way that's not going to hurt your shoulders? Mm-hmm. Or what should down dog look like? And it's great that people do yoga videos, but there's something really special about being in a class with someone who's been trained and someone who's not only been trained, but who's also looking towards the evolution of yoga and paying attention to what... people who are smarter than them are saying about what is happening in the yoga world, like what injuries they're seeing, or maybe try it this way because I know that this has worked consistently.
Right.
And you can't discount the transitions and changes in life and how that has an effect on the way that your body moves through the world. For instance, like if you've had a child, right?
Sure.
Like your body after having birthed a child is going to feel much different than before.
For sure.
Or if you've had recent surgeries or illnesses.
Or as you get older
yeah. or whatever. As much as we don't like to talk about the effects of getting older on our bodies, right? We like to kind of, most of us pretend that those things aren't happening. But things do change and you can't always expect your body to be the same or you know, just having someone there working with you to recalibrate your practice in a way that is a moving and functional practice for you wherever you are is really helpful. Someone with their eyes on you who may have said the same thing to you millions of times, but you on whatever day that it hits you just exactly right that you understand what they're saying. And that's where like a video or an online thing doesn't quite do the
same service to
the living practice.
Yeah, and you know, also a thing I was just thinking about is just as myself, as a person who's done yoga, it's like the problem with like a video, or even if you've gone to classes and you're just remembering your teacher's instruction in your mind, is that we all screw up in things. Like, for instance, like my lower back has been hurting a little bit lately. Mm-hmm. And so I might have a tendency to go into a pose in a way that protects my low back, but that's not good for the integrity of the pose, or that might be putting too much pressure on my chest or my arms or my legs in a different way. And I think, you know, having somebody like you, I mean, of course I'm partial to you, but having somebody, you know, that really does have their eyes on you and also is not just about let's push you to the next level and let's, I mean, that, you know, and again, like I mean, I can talk a little bit more trash, only because it's not me that, you know, is running this studio, but like I've been to yoga classes where it's like the whole time I'm thinking somebody's going to hurt themselves because this class is way too fast that it's just like up, down, up, down, up, down. And there's like a 55-year-old woman in the back who's done yoga twice. And like, that's frankly dangerous. And for my own self, I know that there have been times when I have not appropriately approached my practice because I'm going too fast or whatever. And when you're in a group class, it can be really challenging to stay with your body and be like, okay, I can't go as fast as these other people are going. So I just think that like our one thing I was really excited about when we opened the studio is like, here's a place that's run by somebody who has seen yoga injuries, who's treated yoga injuries, and who has a deep root in trying to prevent those injuries. And that can be so helpful, you know, especially for beginners who are just trying to get their feet under them, literally and figuratively. So I really do appreciate that. Are there certain things that, you know, so peak poses, like, are there certain peak poses that you find yourself, like, what kind of, I just would like you to describe a couple of these peak poses. So you talk about forearm stand, but what are some others that people might be aware of?
Any of the balancing poses are going to be a peak pose, most likely. Like, you could even peak pose like Warrior Three, where you're standing on one leg with a heel back with your body parallel to the ground, right? Like I mentioned, even something more simple, like just understanding what your spinal flexion and extension is looking like and exploring all the poses around
that,
right?
Okay, so
you
can't
do
that kind of stuff. That's right. I forgot that you said that. So they can be simpler things.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so at Watershed Yoga now, we've got some beginning level classes, foundations classes that are more about building those basic skills. And then you're going to have these more peak pose oriented classes. And then we have... Jamie, who does some flow.
Power yoga.
Yeah, and power yoga is more like up, down, up, down. So that's really more for people who have kind of a little bit of integrity in their practice.
Yeah, and I think, too, Jamie would just describe that class as like creating like an internal heat. Like there's a lot of, I mean, it's a strengthening sort of practice.
It's more
sure.
fitness, a little bit more fitness.
A little bit,
too,
yeah, for
sense.
Sure.
Yeah. And then we've got a yin yoga class
mm-hmm.
still. Okay, and that's more like kind of the opposite of that, right?
Yeah, so the yin yoga classes are more about exploring poses that are often seated or lying down, and you're pretty well supported and you hold those poses for a little while. It's not quite the same as restorative because you're not always completely comfortable in the pose. It's like a longer hold of a pose, like for instance, child's pose with a little less support, or a butterfly leg, Supta Baddha Konasana or something,
with
the knees wide and the feet together, you know. So holding poses for a little bit longer with the sense of like allowing a softer sense to come into the body through connective tissue thinning is my understanding of it.
That's a little bit more what Iyengar is into, isn't it, right? No.
I could say a lot about that, but not quite.
I think a lot of people think of it that way, that Iyengar is more about long holds.
Yeah, Iyengar would be more considered hatha yoga, like classical hatha yoga, right, where you're holding specific poses.
Like
instead of doing so much more like what would be considered vinyasa, like working with a movement with the breath patterns, right?
I see.
Like,
And so you wouldn't characterize what we do as either of those things necessarily?
It's a blend of a lot of things, I think, ultimately, is what we do.
It's just a common question that people always ask, you know, when they find out that we
No, it's a great question.
They're like, is this Iyengar? And I'm always like,
Yeah, it's a super great question.
Yeah.
The people that I learned from have traditionally, a lot of their lineage is passed down through the Iyengar tradition, so there certainly is some elements of that. And then a lot of what I've been calling, and I think other folks in the industry call functional movement, where we work on exploring what the body movements are like in a way that's functional and helps them be more functional in their daily lives,
mm-hmm.
right? Like people come in with a shoulder injury and we can do
right.
some work to help their shoulder get a little bit more strength and a little bit more flexibility
without
to help
challenging
them.
It.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got the power yoga, we've got the yin yoga, we've got the foundations classes. There's these peak pose classes where you're going to be working people more towards the peak pose. And is that it?
We've got Pilates. Jillian
is Pilates,
doing Pilates.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And Pilates, I think a lot of people are confused about that. And of course, Jillian's not here, but is a more fitness-oriented kind of modality. And I know that it has a lot to do with core, operating from the core and having a really strong integrity in the core. But what else?
I know that it has a long history of like rehabilitation, like really helping people
like injury,
find functional movement again, like, and helping with them. I mean, it was originally established for people who were bedridden to keep their muscular integrity, right?
Yeah.
So it evolved to be more accessible mat classes because the equipment is not always accessible.
And we don't have the equipment. It's just all on the ground. And Jillian, I've listened to her in class and she incorporates lots of different stuff because she has a yoga background as well. And so I think she really adapts those classes. And then we've got a new thing coming. Are we talking about that? The Saturday thing with Jamie? Kids?
Oh, we're going to start offering, it's on Fridays at noon,
Friday.
We're going to start offering family yoga, and it will be geared towards families who have kids pre-K and younger, and we're just going to kind of see how it goes. It's going to be an opportunity for people who are in need of childcare, for the most part, only we're not supplying the childcare, it's more just a space for people to come and move, and the kids are welcome to move along with it or not, so
mm-hmm.
we thought if the babies want to hang out in the corners, they're welcome to, and kids can bring toys if they want to,
sure.
or they can practice and see how it goes, and we'll just feel it out and see which direction it goes. But we recognize that there's a need for people who are excited about moving and who also have kids at home that they might be interested in this. So that's Friday at noon.
Okay, cool. Okay, so those... Oh, go ahead.
One more thing, too, is that we are starting to offer private sessions, if you're someone who either has some questions about things or wants to deepen your practice or isn't just quite ready to jump into, like, a group practice because you've never done yoga before or because you have some hesitation around something or have an injury, these are ways that you can get some really great one-on-one time with a teacher just to understand a little bit more about what's happening with your body or, like, how do I do this pose correctly for your body, right, in a way that's really going to work well for you, or what do you mean when you say this, or like, I'm just not ready for a group class, like, but I also want to know, like, can you help me set up a private or like a way to do yoga at home, you know, can you help me set up like a routine that would work well for me with my home practice, things like that.
Right,
so,
right, right, more customized solutions.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And so while we finish up here, so the new schedule's coming out soon.
We'll have the new schedule starting in January.
And we still have our special, the yoga special,
yep.
2 weeks, $20.
Always running the special. 2 weeks for $20.
New people.
As many classes as you want to take.
And we do have, like, package options and mm-hmm. stuff like that mm-hmm. all available. We're going to be adding more content to the website for the yoga stuff. So, again, that's another great place to go to watershipwellnesspodcast.com. And if there's something specific you want to know about what Amanda's talked about in this podcast or something on the website, you know, we're always looking for ways to expand that content and help people be educated, because I think something like yoga, something like acupuncture, all these things, you know, a big part of people taking advantage of them is a learning process, because so many of us are not trained in these things as kids. You know, it's even in Oregon, even in the great state of Oregon, where you think every kid learns yoga in elementary school. The reality is that people, you know, it's like to take advantage of acupuncture, you know, the best thing to do is to really know how to take care of yourself after your acupuncture appointment,
sure.
right? And the same thing with yoga, like really to benefit from yoga, it helps to have some understanding. So if people have some questions about things, that's one place to go is watershipwellnesspodcast.com.
Sure. And the other thing I want to say too really quickly is that people are often like, when I tell them what we're doing here, oh, I can't do yoga. I'm really not in shape or
right.
whatever, fill in the blank. I'm really, it's not my thing or whatever. Ultimately, what I'm excited about providing and helping people with is moving their bodies, period.
Yeah.
Like I really see a difference, especially in my massage clients, those who have some sort of movement practices versus those who don't.
Yeah.
And so we really work hard to provide a space that is, you know, lighthearted in the sense of like, if you fall over, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. If you can't do something, it's no big deal. Like,
yeah. And like, you know, providing both like a sense of seriousness around like helping you understand what's happening, but then also a sense of lightheartedness around like, we're kind of all into this together and we've all fallen and like,
yeah.
we all, you know, have our moments of instability or.
Well, and not all of us, I mean, again, like what your body looks like or where your body's been or how
yeah.
old your body is or what, how many kids you've had is just not relevant in the sense that it's, we're not going to judge you based
right.
on where you've come from. In fact, it's awesome if you have all those things, you know, if your body's in whatever state it's in, it's awesome that you're at least coming to movement, you know, and I've been stunned. I've been in yoga classes with people that, you know, look quite frail or people who look like they maybe had recent surgery or, you know, seen people who had difficult births in yoga right after the birth. I mean, there's all kinds of people, little, you know, young people, old people, all kinds of people. And I've been amazed that like all those people can benefit from these movement
mm-hmm.
practices, you know,
mm-hmm.
whereas some things that's not the case. You know, I've done really intense fitness practices and stuff like that, where it's like, there's no way that half my patients could do this, but yoga is something that's like 100% accessible. I wish more people knew that.
Yeah,
you know?
For
so.
Sure.
Anyway, great. So thanks for talking with me. And hopefully we'll have you back on again. And again, just go to watershedwellnesspodcast.com if you have any questions. And please check out the website for the new schedule. Oh, one last thing I forgot to say, which hopefully we'll talk about again. But we have an app now. The yoga studio has an app, which is actually really great because the app allows you to see the schedule really quickly. You don't have to log in and do all these things. You'll stay logged in on your device. It has all the schedules. If you have a class card with us, it'll show you how many you have left. It allows you even to plan your classes out, and it'll give you like reminders when the classes are coming up. So we're going to try to promote that a little bit more, but that's a great way just to get
mm-hmm.
involved with the studio. And the easiest way to find that is just to go to our website, and you'll see a link to it. But you can also just go in the app store, and I think if you just search for Watershed Wellness, it'll come up. But that can be a fun little thing, and it's pretty. So
mm-hmm.
try it out. But anyway, thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll come back in 2 weeks. We're going to be talking with the Chinese medicine folks again and just talking about cold and flu season and staying healthy during this time. So thanks again, Amanda, for being here with us.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon.